This morning on WCHL, Trader Joe's recalls peaches, plums, and nectarines. Orange County's early voting will see few changes this November. Some were happy, but others were not.
It is a privilege.
Okay, so it has to be right. It's a right. It's a right. It's a right.
It's a right that was earned.
And the Affordable Care Act could drive costs up for UNC hospitals.
Medicare is comparing all hospitals across the country, but it isn't making any adjustment or consideration for how sick the patients are to begin with.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, another check-in from the ACC kickoff comes from UNC defensive player, senior bandit Norkeithus Elitis, who says he's really primed for the 2014 campaign. And
autonomy is the new buzzword in major college athletics.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
74 degrees, warming up now at WCHL 806. We have still some dense fog out there in some spots, so please drive with a little extra caution today. Otherwise, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms predicted for the afternoon. 30% chance of rain, but our high today climbing up into the low 90s. Grocery store chain Trader Joe's is recalling peaches, plums, and nectarines for possible listeria contamination. The fruit was sold individually and in 4-pound boxes between June 2nd and July 19th. According to Trader Joe's press release, no one has reported any illness from eating the fruit, but the products were pulled once the supplier indicated contamination may have occurred. Listeria can cause fever, muscle aches, and gastrointestinal problems. Young children, pregnant women, people with compromised immune systems, and the elderly are particularly at risk for infection. Customers should dispose of the fruit or contact the store for a refund. Trader Joe's has three locations in the Triangle, including one here in Chapel Hill at Eastgate. If you'd like more details on the recalled products, you can visit the story on our website at chapelborough.com. The Orange County Board of Elections voted yesterday to expand early voting hours for the upcoming fall election, but the three-member board did not add as many hours as more than 60 supporters who showed up at the Board of Elections meeting in Hillsborough would have liked. They also did not add voting on Sundays. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there and filed this report.
Tuesday's public hearing at the Orange County Board of Elections got heated at times between supporters of expanding early voting hours to Sunday and opponents, particularly Northern Orange County resident Bill Knight.
Voting is a constitutional right, but it is also a privilege that was paid for by millions of Americans that shed their blood for it. So it is a privilege.
Okay, so it has to be right. It's a right.
It's a constitutional right that was earned.
Board of Elections Chair Kathy Knight tried to restore order, and eventually she did. A few others in attendance spoke against extending early voting hours to Sunday, and three of them said they were with the Orange County Republican Party. One of them, Daniel Ashley, accused the nonprofit group Blueprint NC of organizing the movement to extend hours in an attempt to take down the GOP leadership put in place by North Carolina voters. Others argued that the low voter turnout for elections didn't justify spending taxpayer money for more voting days. That argument was supported by two one-stop poll workers. But the Sunday voting opponents were overwhelmingly outnumbered in the room. The enthusiasm shown by people who wanted Sunday voting was noted by Jamie Cox, the lone Democrat on the three-member board.
I am concerned about not having Sunday hours because of the overwhelming support that has received from a very broad and diverse segment, many, many segments of our community.
Some elected office holders were there to speak up for the Sunday option, including Lee Starrow from the Chapel Hill Town Council, Randy Haven O'Donnell from the Carborough Board of Aldermen, and Jen Weaver of the Hillsborough Town Board. Orange County Commissioners Penny Rich and Renee Price were there but didn't speak. UNC student body president Andrew Powell was there to represent students.
Many students are incredibly busy during the weekday, working to pay for college, working on independent research projects and extracurricular activities, going to classes. On the weekends, particularly Sunday, they have less direct obligations.
But the opponents prevailed. The two Republicans on the board, Kathy Knight and Anna Kuhn, rejected a motion by Cox to add Sunday, October 26th, as an additional voting day. Knight later explained that adding Sunday would be unfair to Board of Elections staff and poll workers. Next, Cox made a motion to extend voting by 1 hour on Saturday, October 25th. He also moved that the Orange County Board of Elections location on South Cameron Street should be open from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. on weekdays during the early voting period. That motion carried unanimously. The three members also agreed to use the same five voting sites that were used during the primary: the Seymour Senior Center, North Carolina Hillel, Carrboro Town Hall, Masters Garden Preschool, and the Orange County Board of Elections. You can find this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
UNC hospitals may end up having to pay millions of dollars in Medicare penalties for a high number of patient infections and complications, according to a provision of the new health care law. Here is Princess Streeter with more on the story.
In an effort to lower health costs, the Affordable Care Act has authorized Medicare to make assessments of hospital-acquired conditions and crack down on hospitals that aren't meeting their standard. Preliminary scores show 16 North Carolina hospitals are currently at risk of penalties, including two of the largest in the Triangle, UNC Hospitals and Wake Med in Raleigh. Medicare authorities score on a 10-point scale, with the worst of the infections and health complications of hospitals ranking higher. UNC Hospitals was scored at a 7.375, Wake Med received a score of 8.025. All scores above 7 fall below the 25th percentile.
Another, it's reasonable to think that there may be, in the aggregate, more infections, but that may not have anything to do with the quality of care that's provided in the hospital.
That's Brian Goldstein, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at UNC Hospitals, on why its 801-bed facility ranks higher than most in hospital-acquired conditions. Goldstein says the scores are self-reported and submitted to Medicare by UNC Hospitals, and rankings are calculated solely through assessments of Medicare billing and monitoring hospitals for infections. Hospitals were notified of their scores in April, allowing for administration to review their rankings before the final scores and penalties are released in the fall and administered in the 2015 fiscal year. The scoring system has no minimum passing grade, leaving hospitals that do not receive a performance requirement score of less than 7 with definite penalizations and a 1% cut in Medicare reimbursements. The program does not recognize any patient care documentation or factors outside of their final tally of infections, such as how sick the patients are upon admittance or the socioeconomic backgrounds of hospital patients.
25% of hospitals are going to get penalized in this program, and no matter how much they improve. So the actual scoring is based on how the hospital compares to itself, I believe, from a baseline period of like 2006 or 2007. That's how Medicare chose to score this. So let's say you're a hospital that wasn't doing so well in 2006 and 2007, but now you're doing better. You're going to get a better score. Let's say you were already doing well in 2006 and 2007. You didn't improve as much. You still improved, and your infection rates might be lower than the other hospital, but you're still going to get a worse score in this program.
Goldstein compares this system to a teacher grading on a curve and announcing on the first day of school that 25% of students will automatically fail, no matter how well they do throughout the course, just because that is class policy. The penalties provided by the Affordable Care Act have been a controversial hot topic in the hospital industry, as many of the largest and more research-based hospitals treat the sickest patients, putting them at a higher risk of infections and other complications. Goldstein told WCHL the Association of American Medical Colleges recently wrote to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to alter their scoring system for a more holistic reflection of the quality of a hospital's care. With final scores soon to be released, Goldstein said he believes it's important for the Medicare system to be reformed, but also for hospitals across the nation to keep their focus on the health and safety of their patients.
We could, go a lot deeper and wider and discussing, all the efforts we make every day to aggressively, find and then ideally fix problems that could lead to safety issues or quality. So that all needs to continue. All we're asking for is for these programs that tie back to dollars to be based on a fair assessment of the data that all hospitals provide.
You can find the story at our website, chapelboro.com. Princess Streeter, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Common Core curriculum standards for North Carolina schools will be rewritten under a bill that was signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory yesterday. He signed it along with four others and said the Common Core bill does not officially repeal the federal standards, but will review and improve them. North Carolina is now one of five states that have changed or removed the Common Core standards from schools, and they're creating new state-specific ones. The law directs the State Board of Education to rewrite the Common Core standards for the North Carolina K through 12 schools. A new 11-member Standards Advisory Commission will be formed to make curriculum recommendations to the board. Common Core, which schools began testing 2 years ago, would remain in place until the new standards are completed. According to a new report, children in North Carolina are healthier and better at math and reading than they were nearly a decade ago. The Kids Count report is created by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, a philanthropy and research organization based in Baltimore. But the report says the state has more children in poverty than it did in 2005. More than a quarter of the state's children are impoverished, though the national average of impoverished children also increased from 19% to 23%. North Carolina ranked 34th in the nation for overall child well-being and 38th for economic well-being. Governor McCrory has met with Senate Republicans to try and look at ways to narrow their differences over budget adjustments that were supposed to be in place 3 weeks ago. McCrory's office and a top budget negotiator confirmed the governor visited the Senate Republican caucus on Tuesday morning for about an hour and a half. Senator Harry Brown says the governor and senators did not have a breakthrough in the closed-door gathering. The Jacksonville Republican says the governor and lawmakers proposed potential compromises to end the delays preventing the budget's completion. The governor and Senate Republicans don't see eye to eye on the size of teacher pay raises and the future of teacher assistance and Medicaid. McCrory prefers the House's ideas on these issues and previously threatened to veto any budget with the Senate's proposals inside. Does your heart skip a beat during a downpour and make you wonder how long it will last? Well, last year's flooding may have heightened your senses to that. Well, the potential for rain and the thunderstorms through Friday of this week, Chapel Hill stormwater management engineer Sue Burke says the only time the stormwater system could be tested is if severe thunderstorms drop high amounts of rain in a short period of time.
Well, we've had what we call high-intensity, short-duration storms, which means the rain is coming down at a really high rate over a very short period of time. The water has trouble then actually getting down into the storm drain system. There's just so much of it.
The town saw right at 2/3 of an inch dropped on it on Monday. It was spared the same storm that Durham saw, which flooded some parts of the city after more than an inch of rain was reported at Raleigh-Durham International Airport in a very short period of time. Some areas may have seen more flooding due to the trend. National Weather Service meteorologist Nick Petro says would present the biggest problems.
The main concern will be poor drainage flooding. As any of these heavier showers, they're going to move very slowly. There's not a whole lot of wind in the atmosphere, so these things, when they move, they're going to move very slowly, and they'll have the potential to dump a lot of rain over any given area.
We have a big chance of rain throughout most of the rest of the week. Probably the time for the greatest chance of rain and thunderstorms at this point will be Thursday and perhaps Thursday night. The National Weather Service is predicting less than 1/10 of an inch of additional rainfall each day unless a severe storm hits. Last year, more than 2.5 inches of rain fell in the 4 days leading up to June 30th when 5.12 inches fell in less than 20 hours. Some Chapel Hillians remember that as the worst flooding we've had here in about 30 years. It's 8:17 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound. As we usually see it, seeing some slight delays this morning between Estes Drive and I-40. Just minor to moderate there. 15501 northbound between Columbia and Manning. Also seeing some minor to moderate delays. Really not too many problems out there. You might still see some patchy fog. The sun is up, but we're seeing still some delays because of that. So be on the lookout. Fog advisory until 9 o'clock this morning. So please use caution because of that. Use your headlights, of course, as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Can't blame you for that. You were listening to me do that story about flooding.
And very true.
Thinking about flooding.
That's
so
right.
That's only natural, as Jimi Hendrix would say. It is 8:18 at WCHL, and this traffic report brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers. It is 75 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, shooting for a high today in the low 90s. We still have some dense fog in some spots. The dense fog advisory remains in effect for about another 40 minutes. The showers and thunderstorms predicted for the afternoon, at least a big chance of it. Again, high in the low 90s. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and then even more clouds after midnight. Overnight low 72, 30% chance of rain. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, bigger chance of rain, 60%. Probably showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, although there is a possibility of a little wet stuff in the morning, but our high tomorrow in the upper 80s, and that's encouraging because it will be just a little bit cooler than today.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Neuroscience pioneer Dr. Edward R. Pearl has passed away at the age of 88. Pearl was a Sarah Graham Keenan Professor Emeritus of Cell and Molecular Physiology at the UNC School of Medicine. His groundbreaking work more than three decades ago identified a particular class of nerve cells that respond exclusively to pain. His discovery paved the way for research into pain-relieving drugs that block their function. Pearl was instrumental in the formation of the Society for Neuroscience and served as acting president in its first year of existence from 1969 to 1970. He also established the Pearl UNC Neuroscience Prize, which includes a $10,000 award in recognition of significant achievements in neuroscience. Four past recipients went on to win the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine. Pearl is survived by his wife, children, and granddaughters, as well as numerous students and colleagues. In lieu of flowers, family suggests memorial contributions be made to the Pearl UNC Neuroscience Prize through the Medical Foundation at Carolina. Again, neuroscience pioneer Dr. Edward R. Pearl has passed away at the age of 88. Time for WCHL Championship Sports. Let's talk Carolina football. UNC senior bandit Norkeithus Otis was thrust into the national spotlight as he fielded questions from the media at the ACC kickoff. Otis says he senses a different aura around the family-oriented Tar Heel locker room heading into this 2014 football campaign. WCHL's Matt Oakes has this report.
The 2014 Bednarik watch list and all-conference candidate says there's something different about the run into the fall this year.
You can just see the focus on everybody, even the younger guys that came in, that's puppies right now. The focus is just amazing. Everybody's ready to get after it.
That laser-like focus described by Otis has been well documented by quarterback Marquise Williams, wide receiver Ryan Switzer, and the head coach himself, Larry Fedora. Where does this work ethic come from? Otis says it starts from the top. Strength and conditioning coach Lou Hernandez has been practicing what he preaches.
He's a funny guy. He wants us to work hard. He pushes us to work hard. But the thing that gets us the most is he works hard as a strength coach too. You'll see him out on daily runs. He's running 3 miles, and you'll see him come back in. He's lifting. He's just foam rolling, stretching.
The Tar Heels, picked to finish fourth in the ACC Coastal by the media, will be hoping the rededication of effort and intensity will lead to a run at an ACC title. The urgency is certainly there. Coach Fedora says Carolina can't afford to let this prime opportunity slip by. One of the most charismatic players on the squad is Switzer. Otis says the sophomore spark plug cares deeply for the football program, and that includes the Tar Heel fans as well.
Ron's a great guy. He does all the little things right. He makes everybody happy. He wants everybody to be happy. And if he loves you and he's really committed to you as a person, he does whatever he can in order to make you happy. And our fans is somebody who he loves. They support him, and he wants to give them the same thing in return.
Through the hard work and sweat, Otis and his Tar Heel teammates are growing extremely close. Recently, Switzer wrote his fellow Tar Heels a personal letter. Otis says the family bonds are evident across the board, but says Switzer takes it to a whole nother level.
He was kind of explaining why he does what he do for us. He said he comes in, he works hard every day because it's for us, it's for him. But it's, you know, this is his new family. We're his brothers, he loves us. It meant a lot.
Otis is ranked second at UNC in sacks and tackles for a loss. The Gastonia native will be aiming to back up his strong performances a season ago in his Chapel Hill swan song in 2014. At the media days earlier this week, Coach Fedora didn't have any problems answering who was the defensive leader on his team and maybe the quickest response ever recorded. That's easy, Norkeithus Otis, Coach Fedora said. The Carolina skipper says when Otis speaks up, everybody listens. And that's helpful to a defense that lost the veteran leadership of defensive end Kareem Martin to the NFL. As for his playing position on the field, Otis says the bandit slot is right up his wheelhouse.
It's the best of both worlds. I get to be involved in run stop. I can be a pass rusher. I can be a guy that drops back into coverage. I can stand up as a wheel backer, and I can rush from a backer. So it's fun. It creates different opportunities for me to make plays.
There is one area of the game, though, even Otis hasn't always been so comfortable with. His eating habits.
Eating all the time. I didn't like to eat like 24/7, but I've learned you got to eat like 6 times a day, eat snacks during the day. So it's fun now. I like it.
But if Otis isn't so hungry off the field, he's certainly ravenous on it. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Really looking forward to football season at Carolina, and of course, the complete coverage of the Tar Heels right here on WCHL, as always. It's 8:25.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Autonomy is the new buzzword in major college athletics. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Systematically and with calculating savvy, the so-called five power conferences neatly spaced out their preseason football media days. The SEC began with its week-long circus, followed by the ACC and then the Big 12. Still to come are the Big 10 and the Pac-10, or 12, or 14, or whatever they call it these days. Like the written profiles in the conference media guides that used to be so important to the various commissioners, now it is their twice-a-year state of the state of football and then basketball in October. And it seems like the Big Five league bosses met for a round of golf in Florida to strategize what to say and how to say it. Wonder which one of them drove the beer cart. So far, the SEC's Mike Slive, the ACC's John Swofford, and the Big 12's Bob Bowlsby are all pitching the upcoming vote at the NCAA convention in August that would give the five big boy leagues what they are calling autonomy, meaning they can make and play by their own rules, and the other 250 or so members of the NCAA cannot have anything to say about it. All these years, it was hard for the power conferences to put in expensive policies that would generate more revenue because the proposals were shot down by smaller schools that could not afford to make those changes. Now, with college athletics on the brink of chaos, thanks to the Ed O'Bannon suit, a famed player union at Northwestern, and talk of breaking up the NCAA completely, so-called autonomy is sure to pass. But what does that mean? Surely the Power Five will vote to give players more than what is currently in an athletic scholarship, tuition, room, board, and books, spending money to equal what the average cost of attendance is for normal students. They also will pass a vote giving scholarship athletes catastrophic insurance coverage. But those are no-brainers. The real fight will be amongst commissioners, college presidents, and TV execs over whether to peel off part of the $1 billion the leagues make and pass down to the schools, to pay the players a part of that pie. Whether all the athletes get it, including the Title IX compel women's sports, where it comes from, and just how much they get, are decisions that will either look like a few band-aids here and there, or a full-scale hemorrhaging of amateur college sports as we know it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
This is Radio Gordon playing the sounds of electric garbage. I'm your host, DJ Gordon. Let's take a call.
Hey, I just got the new HTC phone from Sprint and it sounds fantastic, but is it good for garbage?
You must have the new HTC One M8 Harman Kardon Edition with Clarify. It restores the quality of your MP3s so your music sounds the way it was intended. This next track sounds the way I feel. Not that! Yes, that's better.
From America's newest network that now has better call quality comes better sound quality. Get the new HTC One M8 Harman Kardon Edition with Clarify exclusively from Sprint. And for a limited time, when you sign up for a Sprint Framily plan, you get 6 free months of music on Spotify Premium. Happy connecting from Sprint.
Offer in 7/10/14 comparison to prior Sprint network. Spotify monthly charge at the end of 6 months based on the number of Framily members with Spotify Premium. $7.99 for 5 or fewer users. $4.99 for 6 or more users. After 24 months, pay $9.99 a month. Cancel Spotify anytime by calling 888-211-4727. Restrictions apply. Visit Sprint.com for details.
Are you looking for a great local deal? Have you checked out our local deal? What are you waiting for? It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. 1, visit ourlocaldeal.com. 2, enter your email address. And 3, you'll start receiving great daily deals right into your inbox for great local businesses and services. So don't wait. Every day you wait is another great deal you've missed out on. Visit ourlocaldeal.com and sign up today.
There's no price like Half Price, and there's no deal like OurLocalDeal.com.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro, or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
It's 8:30. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Still some fog hanging around in some spots this morning. Otherwise, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 30% chance of that. Our high temperature today in the low 90s. Going to be really hot. Tonight's low 70s. Still a chance of rain. Then tomorrow, a bigger chance of rain with a high in the upper 80s. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carrboro community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
6 days since the shootdown of that Malaysian jetliner, and now a number of the victims' bodies are being flown to Amsterdam. More than half of those who died were from the Netherlands. Two transport planes should be landing soon. In Kiev, correspondent Cammie McCormick.
This is just the beginning of this process, which could go on for at least a couple of days. And then there are the remains still at the crash site. Australia's prime minister said today, based on the early inspections in Kharkiv, we just don't know how many bodies we have, and it's quite possible many are still out there in the open.
To Amsterdam and CBS's Steve Futterman.
When the transplanes arrive at the airbase south of Amsterdam, there will be a moment of silence throughout the nation, and that moment of silence will be led by the King and Queen of the Netherlands, who will be at the airbase. And throughout this day, churches are being urged to ring their bells.
In Ukraine today, the government says two of its fighter planes were shot down by rebels. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
75 degrees, 832 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Grocery store chain Trader Joe's is recalling peaches, plums, and nectarines for possible listeria contamination. The fruit was sold individually and in 4-pound boxes between June 2nd and July 19th. According to Trader Joe's press release, no one has reported any illness from eating the fruit, but the products were pulled once the supplier indicated contamination may have occurred. Listeria can cause fever, muscle aches, and gastrointestinal problems. Young children, pregnant women, people with compromised immune systems, and the elderly are particularly at risk. Customers should dispose of the fruit or contact the store for a refund. Trader Joe's has 3 locations in the Triangle, including one in Chapel Hill at Eastgate. For more details on the recalled products, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The Orange County Board of Elections voted yesterday to expand early voting hours for the upcoming fall election, but the 3-member board did not add as many hours as more than 60 supporters who showed up at the Board of Elections meeting in Hillsborough would have liked. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there and filed this report.
Tuesday's public hearing at the Orange County Board of Elections got heated at times between supporters of expanding early voting hours to Sunday and opponents, particularly Northern Orange County resident Bill Knight.
Voting is a constitutional right, but it is also a privilege that was paid for by millions of Americans that shed their blood for it. So it is a privilege.
Okay, so that's what people think it's right.
It's a constitutional right that was earned.
Board of Elections Chair Kathy Knight tried to restore order, and eventually she did. A few others in attendance spoke against extending early voting hours to Sunday, and three of them said they were with the Orange County Republican Party. One of them, Daniel Ashley, accused the nonprofit group Blueprint NC of organizing the movement to extend hours in an attempt to take down the GOP leadership put in place by North Carolina voters. Others argued that the low voter turnout for elections didn't justify spending taxpayer money for more voting days. That argument was supported by two one-stop poll workers. But the Sunday voting opponents were overwhelmingly outnumbered in the room. The enthusiasm shown by people who wanted Sunday voting was noted by Jamie Cox, the lone Democrat on the three-member board.
I am concerned about not having Sunday hours because of the overwhelming support that has received from a very broad and diverse segment, many, many segments of our community.
Some elected office holders were there to speak up for the Sunday option, including Lee Starro from the Chapel Hill Town Council, Randy Haven O'Donnell from the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, and Jen Weaver of the Hillsborough Town Board. Orange County Commissioners Penny Rich and Renee Price were there but didn't speak. UNC student body president Andrew Powell was there to represent students.
Many students are incredibly busy during the weekday, working to pay for college, working on independent research projects and extracurricular activities, going to classes. On the weekends, particularly Sunday, they have less direct obligations.
But the opponents prevailed. The two Republicans on the board, Kathy Knight and Anna Kuhn, rejected a motion by Cox to add Sunday, October 26th, as an additional voting day. Knight later explained that adding Sunday would be unfair to Board of Elections staff and poll workers. Next, Cox made a motion to extend voting by 1 hour on Saturday, October 25th. He also moved that the Orange County Board of Elections location on South Cameron Street should be open from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. on weekdays during the early voting period. That motion carried unanimously. The three members also agreed to use the same five voting sites that were used during the primary: the Seymour Senior Center, North Carolina Hillel, Carrboro Town Hall, Masters Garden Preschool, and the Orange County Board of Elections. You can find this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In case you're wondering if they're making any progress on the state budget, not really. Governor Pat McCrory met with Senate Republicans to try and look at ways to narrow their differences over budget adjustments that were supposed to be in place 3 weeks ago. Supposed to be in place in time for the new fiscal year, July 1st. Not so much. McCrory's office and a top budget negotiator confirmed the governor visited the Senate Republican caucus yesterday for about 90 minutes in the morning. Senator Harry Brown says McCrory and senators did not have a breakthrough in that closed-door gathering. The Jacksonville Republican says the governor and lawmakers proposed potential compromises to end the delays preventing the budget's completion. The governor and Senate Republicans don't see eye to eye on the size of teacher pay raises, the future of teacher assistance, and Medicaid. McCrory prefers the House's ideas on these issues and previously threatened to veto any budget with the Senate's proposals inside. And Cabarrus County health officials have confirmed the county's first case of chikungunya, saying the patient was infected while traveling in a Caribbean country. There have been 9 other cases here in North Carolina. In each instance, the person infected had traveled to the Caribbean. Chikungunya can be transmitted to humans by infected mosquitoes, and symptoms usually begin 3 to 7 days after being bitten. They typically include fever and severe joint pain. Many patients feel better within a week, but newborns exposed during delivery, adults over 65 years of age, and people with chronic medical conditions have a greater risk for a severe form of the disease. Tamara Staler of Cabarrus Health Alliance said treatment involves trying to make the infected person as comfortable as possible through rest, fluids, and over-the-counter medications. If you haven't read Jeff Danner's recent Common Science column on chikungunya, in which he expresses that the illness is headed for Orange County, you can find it on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. It's 8:38. Lawrence Sanders has today's commentary. We also have What You're Saying on the Street coming up. And in just a few minutes, you're going to hear from D.G. Martin.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane Smith, Cedars member since 2010. Here's what she had to say.
Recently, I went through an ordeal that made me especially glad that I'm living at the Cedars. We were traveling in Ireland and I broke my femur for the second time. After being hospitalized in Ireland, air transported to UNC, I was discharged to DeVos Health Center, where I received rehab, physical therapy, and occupational therapy. I really appreciated the ease of transition through the different care levels. The first time this happened, I had to make round trips 3 times a week of 50 miles to receive my rehab. And I really enjoyed the water therapy and beautiful heated pool here at the Cedars. Moving to the Cedars has proved to be a really good choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than 3 decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road and the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Hi, this is Sean Sloan, owner of Twig. More people are eating healthy, and there's no better way to get the most out of your fruits and vegetables than by using a Vitamix high-performance blender. Vitamix, quality made in the USA. Vitamix is so much more than a blender. From frozen dessert to steaming hot soups, create entire menus with a technology that redefines what a blender can be. My Shop Twig is proud to have been recently selected as an exclusive dealer for Vitamix. So you're thinking, huh, I can get it cheaper on the internet. No, you can't. At Twig, we will match any advertised price you find. And if you mention this radio ad, we will give you a $50 gift card with your Vitamix blender purchase. Sound good? So stop by Twig today, located on Elliott Road next to Whole Foods. Healthy living starts at Twig. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
76 degrees, 841 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lawrence Sanders. Last week, all news outlets reported that Governor McCrory says he will sign the NC Common Core bill. And while that is no surprise, I find myself to be quite disappointed. I'm disappointed because this has little to do with education and a lot to do with the fact that Barack Obama is our president, plain and simple. Some of the arguments against Common Core make it out to be some type of mind-altering George Orwell's 1984 type of initiative, and that's just not true. One of the comments from the majority is that the state would be able to craft a curriculum best tailored to North Carolina. Really? First of all, Common Core is not a curriculum. Common Core is a set of standards. Standards that would have allowed us to have a truer picture of how our children, our teachers, our schools, our state, and our nation is doing, and would provide us with the data necessary to better understand how to prepare our children long before they take the SAT, the ACT, or, for example, a civil service exam. In addition to providing us with a common set of standards, Common Core was also designed to enable students to meet the following college and career readiness expectations: that they demonstrate independence, build strong knowledge content, respond to the varying demands of their audience, comprehend as well as critique, value evidence, use technology, and understand other perspectives and cultures. Those sound like some great traits to have, but I can see why it scares the majority. They probably feel that under Common Core, we could end up with a future generation of knowledgeable, independent thinkers who value evidence and understand other perspectives and cultures. I hope that I am wrong, but it doesn't seem to fit their agenda at all. This is Lawrence Sanders.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill is celebrating your freedom to save with the July fireworks sale. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Matt had to say about his performance experience.
I bought my first Subaru from Performance Subaru this week and couldn't have been more satisfied with the experience. I worked with Galen Frabani and his sales manager, Anna Latta, and they were very easy to work with and gave me a great deal on the car. Would certainly recommend Performance Subaru to a friend.
Now that's a wow. During our July fireworks summer sale, you can lease a 2014 Subaru Legacy Sedan 2.5i Premium for $198 per month.
Stock number D4189 EADO2. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $39.99 due at signing and $0 security deposit. Includes applicable NC taxes, registration, and $549 dealer admin fee. Based on MSRP of $24,380 and selling price of $22,472. With approved credit, take delivery before 7/31/2014.
Visit us at PerformanceSubaru.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
Hi, I'm Kyle Ng. According to the Department of Commerce, the North Carolina unemployment rate fell nearly 2 points since last year, but remained flat from May to June. Many suspect this decrease in unemployment is due to the lack of registration for unemployment, thus the change could hold less meaning. We hit the streets to find out if you think the actual unemployment rate in North Carolina reflects this statistic.
My name is Ed. I live in Durham, and I think that it probably does reflect. I believe that people need money, and if they have to jump through hoops to get their benefits, I've been on unemployment before, and even if it's a hassle, I'm going to do it. I do think that you have to consider that once you're out of the job market for a while, I believe it's 6 months, that you're not included in the information. We need to consider that.
My name is Penny Ward. I live in Carrboro, and I think probably the official unemployment statistics don't reflect the reality of how many people are out of work because the statistics don't reflect people who've given up looking for work or people who haven't applied for benefits.
My name is William Washington. I live in Chapel Hill. I think it's dropping. I think both some people are not applying and some people are getting jobs.
Do you think the North Carolina unemployment rate truly reflects the state's jobless situation?
My name is Jimbo. I live in Chapel Hill. I think the unemployment rate is higher because a lot of people are not eligible for it. They haven't worked somewhere long enough to get it. I think the unemployment rate is higher than what you're saying.
My name is Joey. I live in Chapel Hill. The unemployment numbers are an accurate reflection or not of people actually being able to get jobs who want to work.
Hi, this is Ken Fuller. I live in Chapel Hill. And my response to the question is, it's a false indication. Well, how can we really, really know the exact number of people who are unemployed? There's really no way of knowing.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
And let me just tell you that Peter Grill is family-owned and located in Timberline Shopping Center. Peter Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner. Check out the popular new menus at Peter Grill, including chicken and beef shawarma, plates, and wraps. They've been in business now for over a year at Peter Grill off Weaver Dairy Road. It is 8:46 at WCHL. D.G. Martin on the way next.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
This is Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, and I'm here with Tom McGarvey, an expert in commercial and business insurance with 12 years of experience.
Thanks, Mark. Commercial can be a very complex line of insurance, covering liability, auto, property, and workers' comp. I can make sure you have the right coverages at a fair price, and most importantly, we offer outstanding service for our clients. Call me, Tom McGarvey, at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 Fordham Boulevard for a free consultation.
Take the family to Dickie's for a family night or pick up a family pack on your way home because you just don't want to cook. Order online at Dickie's.com and we will have it ready for you to take out with 8 juicy hickory smoked meats, including pulled pork, chicken, ribs, brisket, and more. Add fresh home-style sides and hush puppies and you will have a special night that is tasty and affordable. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, and down downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser's sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste great guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kenny G is returning to Durham Performing Arts Center on December 7th for an evening of holiday hits. This will be the first time back for him since his show sold out back in 2011. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock and can be purchased at dpacnc.com. But luckily, right now at WCHL, it is Christmas in July, and we are qualifying finalists every day this week. And on Friday, one of those finalists will be announced as our winner, receiving a DPAC VIP package, including four tickets to the show and a $40 diner gift card from 604 West Village in downtown Durham. Be the fifth caller right now at 919-929-WCHL. And you can get qualified as a finalist and get a chance to experience Kenny G this December. You are qualified if you are caller number 5 right now at 919-929-WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, what difference does it make that almost half of North Carolina's voters were born someplace else? I didn't even know about this fact until I read the latest DataNet report from the UNC Program on Public Life, which is, of course, directed by our friend Farrell Gilray. DataNet tells us that 100 years ago, when North Carolina had a population of about 2.5 million people, more than 9 out of 10 residents were native Tar Heels. Going back a little bit further, DataNet tells us that during the Civil War era, barely 5% of North Carolina residents were born in some other state. And that percentage stayed low, increasing only gradually to 10% in 1930, 13% in 1950, 16% in 1960, and then there were marked increases like to 22% in 1970, up to 30% in 1990, and 37% in 2000, now approaching 50%. Well, how will this change North Carolina's electorate? DataNet asks and then answers, in-migrants to North Carolina are almost twice as likely to have a bachelor's degree as native-born residents. They are more diverse than native-born North Carolinians. And because many are coming for work and school, in-migrants tend to move to cities more than to rural areas. The accelerating changes in North Carolina's voter composition led DataNet to focus on developments, recent developments, between 2004 and 2012. And during this period, the five urbanized and fast-growing counties, that's Mecklenburg, Wake, Durham, Buncombe, and Cumberland, gained the highest number of in-migrant voters. During the same period, most of these voters came from Florida, Virginia, New York, South Carolina, and Georgia. And so here's the question. Are these new voters going to help Democrats or Republicans more? DataNet says it can't say for sure because it can't tie party registration figures to specific in-migrant voters. But it notes that these in-migrant voters have contributed to a large surge in new voters deciding not to affiliate with either major political party. For instance, Mecklenburg, along with Wake and four other counties, had gains in unaffiliated voters of 100% or higher. Statewide Democratic registration over this period from 2004 rose by 20%, Republicans by 18%, and affiliated voters by 93%. But back to partisan politics, growth in Democratic voter registration outpaced Republican registration growth in Mecklenburg, Wake, Durham, Buncombe, Cumberland, Guilford, Orange, and Forsyth. But Republican registration increased more in many of the less populist and suburban counties. So what political party benefits from these new voters? The increases in Democratic registration in growing urban counties seems to boost the Democrats' long-term prospects, despite growing Republican strength in the suburban and slow-growing rural counties. But the actual voting results send confusing signals. As we know, strong Democratic showings in the 2008 and 2012 presidential races were countered by decisive Republican victories in the 2010 and 2012 legislative and 2012 gubernatorial elections. What the DataNet report shows is that the new North Carolina voters are joining growing numbers of native North Carolinians who are not permanently attached to any political party or movement. Their commitment will depend not on where they came from, but on what party and what candidates can persuade that their votes can really make a difference. This is D.G. Martin.
All right, D.G., thank you so much. It is 8:54 WCHL. Congratulations. And Justice, who called in and got herself qualified to win that Kenny G prize package. And if you've not been able to qualify this morning, don't worry about it. Listen to Aaron Keck this afternoon and this evening during the afternoon and evening news from 3 until 7 p.m. And he'll be doing it a couple of times, and I'll be getting a couple more qualifiers tomorrow morning right here on WCHL. So good luck.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
One more chance to win something this morning. If you can remember Wayne Pond's word of the day, what's the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you have those answers. 855 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jim Warren of NC Warren is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I'm executive director, very involved in the program work as well as helping run the organization. A 26-year-old nonprofit based in Durham. We've been a watchdog of the electric power industry for a long time and have been involved in a lot of pollution issues, and especially over the past 10, 12 years, our top focus has been climate change. The more we learn, the more intent we are on changing the course of Duke Energy. This is a Charlotte-based corporation that now calls itself the largest corporate electric utility in the world. And so we feel that changing Duke Energy's course to a clean energy economy can really make a difference globally with this whole climate disruption that is advancing so rapidly.
Some people still say there's no such thing as global warming.
And I don't waste much time trying to argue with folks like that. Overwhelmingly, the U.S. public does understand that climate change is moving along quite rapidly. I think the public does not understand how quickly this is advancing. In the news here this summer, globally, May and June broke all-time heat records. Climate change and sea level rise are well underway, and most people do understand it. So what we have to do is we have to get more people taking modest steps to try to help the social movement to reverse the course of all this. And it's not going to happen at the international treaty level, at least not for a while. But what we can do in North Carolina is we can demand that our local corporate utility, Duke Energy, do what it should be doing to help cut the carbon in this state and the other states that Duke Energy operates in.
You described NC Warren as a watchdog organization, and you're the number one watchdog. How did you get into this kind of work? How did it all develop?
As I became more aware of what was going on in the world, I was just drawn more and more into learning. Then began to realize just how unjust much of our world is, including here in our state. Just became drawn to get more and more involved.
Well, thank you so much for working so hard for this nonprofit organization, and thanks for looking out for the rest of us and staying aware of all these things when a lot of us either don't have the time or don't take the time to understand them on our own.
Well, thank you for the chance to talk with you about it.
Jim Warren, congratulations. You are today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Thank you, Ron.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Are you looking for a great local deal? Have you checked out our local deal? What are you waiting for? It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. 1, visit ourlocaldeal.com. 2, enter your email address. And 3, you'll start receiving great daily deals right into your inbox for great local businesses and services. So don't wait. Every day you wait is another great deal you've missed out on. Visit ourlocaldeal.com and sign up today.
There's no price like Half Price, and there's no deal like OurLocalDeal.com. This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech, online at DurhamTech.edu.
Congratulations to Bob Crane, called in with a word of the day, Silcet. S-C-I-L-L-C-E-T. It means to wit, or that is... It's a really kind of complicated word, but at any rate, Bob Crane gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you very much for the phone calls. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. This dense fog advisory is about to go away in about 30 seconds here. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 90s, which means it's going to be hot and muggy today. No question about that. 30% chance of rain. That will go through tonight as well. Low 72. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. That's a little better. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman at Eindhoven Airport. The bodies of those killed in last week's Malaysian airline tragedy are in the air right now, on board two military transport planes heading towards the city south of Amsterdam. In around an hour, the planes are scheduled to touch down. Two-thirds of the 298 people killed were Dutch. This woman says bringing the bodies back to Dutch soil will bring some closure.
It's a very important day for the people here.
The King and Queen of the Netherlands will be here when the planes arrive. There will be a moment of silence. Today has been declared a national day of mourning. I'm Steve Futterman at Eindhoven Airport. Now with more on the story, here's Frank Sedapani.
There's breaking news from Ukraine about the downing of two Ukrainian military planes. CBS's Cammie McCormick has that from Kiev.
A Ukrainian defense ministry spokesman says the two Ukrainian jets were shot down in eastern Ukraine, close to the Russian border. Initially, he said it was believed the pilots ejected, though it isn't clear if they've been recovered. Fierce fighting has been raging in eastern Ukraine all week, some of it preventing international inspectors from getting to the Malaysian Airlines crash scene. Ukraine just yesterday called up more military reservists.
A Gaza ceasefire is still more hope than reality, but Secretary of State Kerry says his meetings today in Israel have made progress.
We have certainly made some steps forward. There's still work to be done.
No one in Gaza would doubt that. CBS's Barry Peterson tells us Israeli forces are on the attack again, targeting the tunnels Hamas can use to sneak fighters and weapons across the border with Israel.
Israelis hit a series of what looked like